This is Jay Sekulow. A vote scheduled for Thursday on a special select committee dealing with Benghazi.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Is the White House going to cooperate with this investigation, yes or no? I've heard a lot of
First of all, I haven't seen an investigation. I've seen a lot of rhetoric. I've seen talk. I've seen some of the usual partisan assertions and heard them. And what I will say is that we have a long history of cooperating with legitimate oversight from Congress. And that cooperation will continue. What I am not going to speculate about is, you know, what the Republicans are up to. It's pretty blatantly apparent based on what they've said and what even other Republicans have said, that this is a highly partisan exercise. But I'm not going to go further than that.
This is a conspiracy theory in search of a conspiracy, and it is has clearly been that for so long now that I've lost track of the number of conspiracies that have fallen flat.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
How certain are you that Democrats will participate and put, since it's a select bipartisan committee, will put members on the committee?
Chris, I think it's a colossal waste of time. We've had four bipartisan investigations of this already.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We've got a lot to talk about. Yesterday, we had the Supreme Court decision that came down on the prayer case. We gave you a full analysis of that. So we're now back to the topic, which is the topic that is really the number one in Washington right now. Although this week's going to be two issues. You're going to hear discussions about a special select committee in Benghazi. You're also going to hear about the situation and a possible contempt vote on Lois Lerner on the IRS cases. We're going to be talking about both of those today. Stan Bennett's the director of our governmental affairs, of course, in Washington, D.C. And, Stan, you were in a series of meetings while we were on air yesterday. Let's talk about Benghazi. Word is that Trey Gowdy may be put in charge of that committee. What's the sense?
Yeah, Trey Gowdy is going to be in charge of the select committee, Jay. This vote is probably going to happen on Thursday, Speaker Boehner. This is something he has declined to do. He has let the process play out. He has let the committees investigate. But honestly, Jay, you reach a point where the stonewalling from the administration just has to end. That is why they are moving to a select committee. Trey Gowdy will lead it. The House will approve it on Thursday. And I think this is something important to point out, Jay, because we are hearing that Democrats may not participate in this process. And I just want to make something very, very clear. If Democrats do not participate in this process, it will be by their own doing. Speaker Boehner will give them slots on this committee. The House will approve it. If they do not participate, it will be because Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer do not allow it.
Here's what you've got right now. I mean, you've got top Democrats saying that they're not going to participate. This is a form of protest. They think there's nothing else on Benghazi, even after, which is incredible to me, after the emails that came out last week and the interviews that took place this weekend, where the administration is just in a free fall on this. And, of course, you've got four dead Americans. We're going to be taking a break in a moment here, Tham. But quickly, I want to talk about process. You're saying the vote will take place. Is it just the House, Senate not involved in this?
It's just the House. This will be a House select committee. The Senate could do this as well, Jay, but it would be an entirely separate process. So if the full House approves it on Thursday, this House select committee will be established. Then the Democrats just have to decide whether or not they are going to fill their slots on that committee.
All right, folks, we're going to talk more about this after the break. This is huge news. We're talking about the repercussions. What can this committee actually do? What can they accomplish? We want you to be part of a petition drive right now to get this vote passed on Thursday. So we're on a very short time frame here. Hundreds of you, thousands of you contacted us yesterday. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, because we're demanding the truth about the Benghazi attack. We've got 28,974 people with phone calls, over 30,000 phone calls and online signatures in just 24 hours. Pretty incredible response. I believe we could be well over 75,000 by Thursday. Let's get this vote through. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We're looking at an open letter, Americans demanding the truth about Benghazi. We want this special select committee. We're going to talk about who's going to lead it up in just a moment. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Than Bennett in our offices in Washington, D.C., was in a series of meetings yesterday, actually while we were on air. Than, we're talking about the Benghazi situation, and we are of the opinion, the official position of the ACLJ and our Office of Governmental Affairs is that you now need a special select committee to deal with this. Now, the question, of course, a lot of people are asking is, A, can this take place if the Democrats, Than, say, no, we're not participating?
Yeah, it most certainly can take place. All it takes is full approval of the House, Jay, and I think Republicans on their own can muster the votes to make that happen. Now, if the Democrats don't participate, what you are going to see is only Republicans on the panel. But, you know, we mentioned this in the first segment of the broadcast, Jay. If that happens, people have to understand who is to blame for that. This resolution that will be approved on Thursday will provide slots on that committee for Democrats. If they don't fill those slots, it will be by their own choice. It will not be because they've been blocked out. It will be because they have decided that the deaths of the four Americans in Benghazi aren't worth further investigation. It will be entirely up to them.
So let's say the vote goes through, and let's say the Democrats do, you know, basically protest it and boycott it. They're not going to go. You've got some like Bob Beckel saying that the GOP is using Benghazi and the Benghazi victim as political points. Talking points, so to speak, but also to score political points. But the reality is the narrative on this has changed so drastically in the last couple of days because of the email releases. We now know, we always suspected that the Susan Rice video comments were not correct. But this is just basically now with the emails clear that that happened. But yet Jay Carney yesterday in the press briefing says this, conspiracy upon conspiracy. Listen to what he says.
This is a conspiracy theory in search of a conspiracy, and it is has clearly been that for so long now that I've lost track of the number of conspiracies that have fallen flat.
You know, this was after ABC News grilled him last week very aggressively on this. So, Than, let's talk about what the select committee can actually do. What it will be their powers, and what difference does that say from a regular committee of Congress oversight?
Yeah, well, for to set that answer up, Jay, I mean, this attack happened on September 11th, 2012, more than a year and a half ago. Nobody is jumping to conclusions or jumping the gun on this.
Right.
Even ACLJ, we didn't ask for a select committee right away. We wanted the administration to have the chance to come forward and voluntarily tell us what happened in Benghazi. A year and a half later, Jay, that hasn't happened. That's why we need this. Now, the powers that the Select Committee will have. They will have full, broad subpoena power. So they will be able to subpoena anyone who they think is involved or has information that declines to come forward voluntarily. So if they want to subpoena Hillary Clinton and she will not come voluntarily, they can subpoena her and she will have to decide whether or not to comply with that. I think probably the most telling thing to come out of this announcement of the Select Committee came from the person who's going to lead this, Trey Gowdy from South Carolina, someone you've interacted with on a great number of times. He said, I want to look at every document that is relevant here. I'm a former prosecutor. I know how to look at these documents. I don't want to see summaries. I don't want to see experts. I don't want to see secondhand testimony. I want to see every document, and I want to talk to everyone that's directly involved. So if the Democrats, Jay, don't want to give this a fair shake, what they're going to be missing out on is the actual documents and the actual witnesses who have the truth here. The only conclusion I can draw, they won't be after the truth on this.
Well, I think the reality is, I agree with you on that, but the fact of the matter is Trey Gowdy is one tough prosecutor, right? You spent a couple of hours with him just last week in South Carolina, or week before last, on a major event that we were all at with Lindsey Graham. And I will tell you that this is a guy that's not going to leave a stone unturned here. I think the consequence of this is a broader subpoena power. That's going to be a significant play. But then do you also get the sense that as this will force the release of additional emails and force the testimony of those that were involved? We had that testimony yesterday, or we played it yesterday, where on the weekend talk shows, one of the guys that were writing up the memos, you know, in talking with Brett Baer, says, hey, dude, what do you expect me to remember things from talking about whether he changed the talking points? Listen to this.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about the most mundane process.
Dude, it is the thing that everybody is talking about.
We're talking about the process of editing talking points. That's what bureaucrats do all day long.
Dude, that was like 2 years ago. This is who's running the government. To me, that's the scariest part, by the way. Of everything he said, the dude, that was like 2 years ago, is the scariest part. So scary, I'm playing it again. Now, let's get, what is this position of this guy? This is what's important right now. This is the former National Security Council spokesperson. Okay, listen to what this guy says in response to Brett Baer and the redrafting of the talking points memo.
Did you also change attacks to demonstrations in the talking points?
Maybe. I don't really remember.
You don't remember?
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. We're still talking about.
Dude, this was like 2 years ago. This guy was in the Situation Room when Benghazi was breaking. I want him under oath so he can't go, dude, I might have, I can't remember. And I think, Than, one of the things that will happen in this Select Committee will be they will not be able to get away with those kind of answers.
You're absolutely right. I mean, dude, that was so offensive. Tommy Vietor, people need to understand this. He was one of the few people that was in the Situation Room on September 11th, 2012. He was one of the few people involved in the decision not to send aid when our consulate was under attack. Jay, 7 hours later, we lost 2 of the 4 Americans that died in that, Tyrone Woods and Glenn Dougherty. People cannot forget those names. The decision that that guy you just heard on that clip make, Tommy Vietor, he and others made, it may have cost those 2 American heroes their lives. And Jay, here's the other thing. This is a question that will be asked by this Select Committee. Tommy Vietor was in that Situation Room. The testimony is that the President of the United States was in the White House while this attack was being made. He was aware that the consulate was under attack. He never once set foot in the Situation Room. That question's got to be answered. Why wasn't the President there? Did he have all the intel? And why in the world did he not order someone to come to the aid of Glenn Dougherty and Tyrone Woods? That is a mistake that is not forgivable.
Well, I don't think so either, and I think maybe we get to the bottom of it. All right, so let's talk about the strategic moves here. Then you expect that the Democrats will not participate. Is that your kind of instinct right now?
It kind of looks like that, but I've got to tell you, Jay, the interesting step in this will be Thursday. Every Democrat will actually have to go to the floor of the House and vote on this. So leadership on the Democrat side is saying they will not participate. But what I'm curious about is, will there be members of the Democratic Party that go down on Thursday and say, you know what? We think answers need to happen. We're going to actually vote in favor of this Select Committee. If that happens, there's going to be this conflict on the Democrat side of the aisle. You know, Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi say, we will not fill those slots. But what if some of those Democrats go to Speaker Boehner and say, our leadership won't put us on it. Will you give us one of your spots? Thursday is going to be the key vote on this. I think Democrat leadership is off the reservation on this. But will if the Democrats come away?
But Van, is there any sense right now? Because let me play this clip from Chris Wallace and Representative Adam Schiff out of California. And this is where I think this messaging is going from the Democrats, and I won't be surprised if they're kind of lockstep on this. Listen to number seven.
How certain are you that Democrats will participate and put, since it's a select bipartisan committee, will put members on the committee?
Chris, I think it's a colossal waste of time. We've had four bipartisan investigations of this already. I don't think it makes sense, really, for Democrats to participate. I think it's just a tremendous red herring and a waste of taxpayer resources.
So the question's going to be, Than, you were up at these meetings yesterday. They may just do this lockstep. The Democrats may just boycott this, basically.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think Adam Schiff is right. I think that is the most likely response, that Democrats will boycott altogether. But the point I wanted to make, Jay, is we can't just let this fall on the shoulders of Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer. Every Democrat will actually have an opportunity to make their own decision. So if they go lockstep on this, and you're in a district that's represented by one of these so-called moderate Democrats, yeah. If they come to you and say, listen, our hands were tied, we didn't have an opportunity, that is not factually accurate. On Thursday, they will have to make their own independent decision. And if they go lockstep on this, they are just as responsible as Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer.
You know, there's an interesting clip. I don't know if we have it, but I want to play in the next segment if we can get it. And that is one coming out of John Kerry, another one of these misstatements with religion and Bibles and the documents that are 2,000-year-old. And basically referring to the scriptures. And it's in a condescending way while he was on route to Africa. Point is, I think what's happening, whether it's Benghazi, whether it's the Middle East, whether it's the situation with the IRS, they're trying to keep the Democrats in line. And to do that, this administration will say and do anything necessary to keep them away from the testimony, to keep them away from getting to the bottom of what was a disaster in Benghazi. We've got a lot more ahead, folks. We're taking your names to an open letter, Americans demanding the truth about Benghazi, that will support this select committee. That vote is Thursday. Go to ACLJ.org. You can sign it there, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to sign on to a letter with 30,000 other Americans demanding the truth about Benghazi. For the sake of our country, for the sake of those four Americans that were killed, we need answers. Not, hey, dude, that was like 2 years ago. I tell you, that bothers me more than I can tell you, folks. ACLJ.org, 1-877-989-2255. I want to see that guy under oath with giving sworn testimony and not be able to answer like that. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military
military assistance dispatched to our consulate. What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Roll away your stone, I'll roll away mine.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're talking about the situation in Benghazi. Vote expected. Then you're expecting that vote on Thursday, correct?
Yeah, the Benghazi vote will be no sooner than Thursday, Jay.
All right, so here's what we want to do, folks. On this petition that we have up right now, it's actually an open letter to get a vote on the special select committee. Join us in that. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Obviously, we only have a couple of days here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Than, how certain? I'm very happy when I got word that, in fact, from you yesterday during the meeting, that we looked at, it looks like a situation where it is going to be Trey Gowdy heading it up. Is that pretty definite at this point?
Yeah, the speaker has announced his selection. Trey Gowdy will lead this. You know, the speaker gets to make that selection, Jay. The entire select committee has to be approved by the House, but that resolution that comes forward on Thursday, it will actually list Trey Gowdy as the lead of this select committee. So that part of it is pretty much a foregone conclusion
now.
How
big of a deal is this for Trey? I mean, I think it's a pretty big deal.
Oh, it's monumental, and I would just say this. I mean, I saw him in the hallway a couple of days ago, and he's got a passion in his gut for this, Jay. He was born to do something like this. It sort of merges his past experience with his current experience. And the other thing is, the American people need to have a lot of confidence. He's going to find answers on this. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any scenario here where it actually leads to, you know, a Republican that was responsible. But let me tell you, he's not going to prejudge this. He's going to follow the facts where they go, and whoever's responsible, he's going to haul them in front of him,
yeah.
And he's going to get their testimony.
So let's talk about the staffing of this, because I was with Trey just about 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, two weeks ago today. We were together in South Carolina at a pro-life event. Let's talk about the staffing of this. Did they develop a – Than, by the way, served on Capitol Hill for a long time. So he heads up our government affairs, but he was in a congressional office as a senior person for a long time, senior staff member. What's the process here? They formed the committee as a new staff hired. How does this work?
Yes, they will have a staff. They will have actually office space. This will be a full-blown committee of the House of Representatives for as long as it exists, for as long as it takes to get to the bottom. And actually, Jay, you bring up a really good point, because one of the key things here is Trey Gowdy is going to have to, you know, form sort of a lead prosecutor. Of course, he will fill that role formally, but day-to-day, behind the scenes, you know, the people that are taking the depositions alongside of him, that lead counsel is going to be a very important position. So over the course of the next couple of weeks, one of the things that we will do behind the scenes is consult with them, let them know about the people that we know of that are very, very good at this. And we, you know, to the extent that they need help, you know, Trey Gowdy knows a lot of these folks too, but we will be there to provide that assistance. The formulation of that legal staff is going to be very key in this process.
You know, it's interesting. Nancy Pelosi has released a statement just this morning about the whole bipartisan, or what would hopefully be a bipartisan select committee. Quote, if this review is to be fair, it must be truly bipartisan. The panel should be equally divided between Democrats and Republican, as is done on the House Ethics Committee. It should require that the witnesses are called and interviewed, subpoenas are issued, and information is shared on a bipartisan basis. Only then could it be fair. In other words, she doesn't have a majority in the House of Representatives, therefore now she wants to act like she does.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's pretty unbelievable.
Everything that she just asked for, Jay, that's likely to be a part of this. I mean, if she wants to put people on the committee, if she wants to put staff on the committee, if she
but
wants to
answer... But they don't get half, correct? They don't get half.
Well, They are not entitled to half. That is a formulation based on the makeup of the House. But
right.
I would pose this back to her. If you got half, are you going to take the seats? Because she's prejudged that, Jay. She has said no matter what this committee looks like, we're not going to participate.
Yeah, so the statement doesn't match the facts of what's going to happen. All right, folks, again, sign on to this petition, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. The vote's going to be Thursday. We want to wrap this up, obviously, by Thursday. And it looks like we're going to have close to over 50,000 signatures on this, which would be a good way to push this over the top to get the select committee on Benghazi. And the fact that our friend Trey Gowdy will be handling it will be a really positive statement. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Martha McCallum was on air with Trey Gowdy. Here's what happened.
It was expected that you would be asked to take on this role. Now that you've been given this job, what are your central questions that you want to learn from it?
Same three questions, Martha, that I had 20 months ago. Why was our security profile so low in Benghazi on the anniversary of 9/11? Why were our assets not positioned across the globe in such a way that we could respond to Northern Africa in time? And thirdly, and in some people's estimation, most importantly, can we trust government and their explanation of the aftermath?
You know, it's interesting because I think Trey hit it exactly correct, and that's he'll pursue that. But I'll tell you something. Retired Air Force Brigadier General Robert Lovell was on a lot of the – he testified, and there was this question about could have we really gotten resources there to Benghazi. Here's what he said. I think this is very important for people to understand what the role is of the armed services in a conflict like this.
There are accounts of time, space, and capability – discussions of the question, could we have gotten there in time to make a difference? Well, the discussion is not could or could not of time, space, and capability. The point is we should have tried. As another saying goes, always move to the sound of the guns.
I think that's the whole failure here. And again, a lot of this then was the president's narrative was not working, and that's why this happened. Before I need to touch base. Well, I'll tell you what, after the break, we're going to get into the lowest learner situation. But, Fan, last thing on this. The select committee will go. When will it start actually doing, assuming the vote takes place Thursday, when does it start getting its offices and doing its job?
They're going to have a couple of weeks to pull together that staff, to actually pull together some of the people, the first ones that they expect to testify. But I would expect 2 to 4 weeks, Jay, we'll have our first hearing on this. Trey Gowdy's not going to waste it. I think he's actually going to set aside a lot of his other job just to do this. And let me just quickly say, I'm so glad you played that audio. You and I have both written about this. What the retired general testified to, that is entirely the point. When that order was made not to send help, this attack was ongoing. We didn't know if we could get there in time. We should have run to the guns. We should have tried. We didn't. And that is one of the questions that has to be asked. Why was no order to send help given?
Well, this is a fundamental failure, and we've got to find out why and make sure it never happens again. And I, like I said, I'm very happy that our friend Trey Gowdy is now going to be in charge of this committee. He's also had his hands full on the IRS matter. We're going to talk to that about that after the break. We may have that vote coming up this week. Dan will give us the update there. But, folks, as you see, at the ACLJ, we're not talking about it. We're not just mentioning it. We're not just discussing it. We're doing something about it. Believe me, we will engage this issue at the highest levels. You know, yesterday a Supreme Court decision came out. It was a huge win for prayer and in front of legislative assemblies. We grabbed it immediately and talked about it. We filed briefs in that case. We were thrilled with the victory. But, folks, that was yesterday. And today's today. And that's just the way it moves at the ACLJ. You can't sit there and you think, well, it was a great win, which the Lord provided a great win in that case. No doubt about it. I think it moved the law forward in light years. Having said that, you can't sit and say, okay, well, that's done. What can we do next? It's next case. I just authorized the filing of a lawsuit this morning in a case out of New York. And whether it's this matter in Washington, D.C., you can imagine the ACLJ will be front and center again. Go to the website at ACLJ.org or call us at 877-989-2255 and sign this open letter so we get this full board select committee in place. And with Trey Gowdy running it, I can't think of anything better than that right now to get to the bottom of this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, very important here, folks, we want you to be participating with us, and that means staying current and engaged. You should be getting our email updates. You could do that at ACLJ.org. Like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. Over 1,200,000 people are on our Facebook between mine, the ACLJs, and Jordan. Our goal by the end of the year, 2 million. And we can get there with your help. Just go to ACLJ and like the page. But again, sign on to that letter now. We want to get this hearing started. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've been talking about the situation in Benghazi. Looks like a select committee is going to be formed. Then quickly on that, and I want to move to Lois Lerner. Any chance that there is really any way that this will not happen at this point?
No, this is going to happen. Republicans have enough votes in the House to make it happen. I think the open question is, I think I know the answer to this, but the open question is whether or not Democrats will participate. I'm not fully willing to concede that yet, just because until Thursday comes, I want to put the pressure on them to say, listen, even if your leadership doesn't go along, why don't a few of you come our way? Why don't a few of you stand for the American heroes that died? Why don't a few of you help the Republicans get answers? We'll see.
You know, I certainly would like to see that myself. I mean, I think that would be very, very important if we could get it. So part of what we're doing by gathering this support of names is to urge Democrats to participate. So if you want to help us on that, you can do it at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We've got that open letter going now. Or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. All right, Lois Lerner. She has been the subject of quite a bit of controversy, and Than, you were, again, at your meetings yesterday. There's a chance that Lois Lerner's vote could come when on the contempt?
Honestly, as soon as tomorrow, more likely Thursday. But listen,
Thursday's going to be a big day in Washington, folks. We'll be giving you live broadcasts for that, for sure.
This has been a crazy week. When I got to the studio this morning, I was still out of breath. But here's the bottom line. Lois Lerner is going to be held in contempt by the full House unless they get a last-minute deal. That is the only thing that would stop this. That vote will happen no later than Thursday. She will be held in contempt. And I think here's the second piece that's interesting on this, Jay. Much like the Benghazi situation, we did not call for a special independent prosecutor for a long time.
We wanted to give
them a chance to come forward.
Yep.
Back-to-back with this contempt vote, Congress is going to call on DOJ to appoint a special independent prosecutor. I think this is in line with our strategy. Listen,
let me say something about that, because we have been, as you know, and as Than just said, we've been very hesitant calling for a special prosecutor because we wanted the process within the House to go forward as long as it could. But I will tell you this, and I've got clients being interviewed by the FBI today. This is going on. So, a year and a half after this event happened. Here's the point. I think it's very clear that the Department of Justice, DOJ, is institutionally incapable of self-correcting any of this and investigating themselves, which is in essence what they're doing here. I don't think they can investigate the IRS. They supposedly took Lois Lerner's testimony, but not under oath. All kinds of deals were made that we don't know about here. We're getting a slow drip release of the documents. The fact of the matter is we've been hesitant to have a special prosecutor, but I think we've reached the point where we need that. We're moving forward with our civil litigation, but a special prosecutor we think is now necessary. Now, Than, how's that playing out as far as the votes go?
I think that that is going to be approved. Again, this involves DOJ. It involves the Attorney General Eric Holder, so there's skepticism whether or not he will follow through. But I think here's the case that the House is making, Jay. You know, you said it was an open investigation. You said you were going to get to the bottom of it. Then you closed it without talking to any clients, including our clients.
Well, the president closed it, and the president said there was not a smidgen of evidence while the clients hadn't even been interviewed yet.
Right. And this is a compelling case. I mean, you can say to the attorney general, listen, we will let you make this selection so long as you select somebody that actually has the confidence of the American people. Don't give us
but
Barbara Bosserman.
What if Eric Holder, which I expect, says, no, I'm not going to do it?
I think that's what he's going to do. I mean, I don't suspect that after a long track record of stonewalling, after a long track record of doing the political bidding of the president of the United States, he's going to change his course. But I think this is just another way for us to
Let me just say, it's ceremonial in one sense that you're calling them to do this, but in another sense, you have to do it.
Right.
In other words, you've got to go through this step because it's the right thing to call for, and then if the administration says no, there'll be political consequences for it. Hey, folks, we've got a lot more ahead, specifically on Benghazi as well. So a lot more ahead. Sean Hannity will be with us. We've got a lot of interviews going on, a lot of things happening. I was on both this radio and television show with Lanny Davis. You're not going to want to miss any of this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to this letter, open letter calling for this select committee, which we think we're going to get Thursday. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
This is now. Call it, I'm done.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, in light of Speaker Boehner announcing this new select committee to get to answers, to get to the bottom line on what happened in Benghazi, folks, you know, we have been talking a lot about this over the last 18 months. Jay has an excellent article posted at aclj.org and also at foxnews.com now, outlining really what we know about this case. And the proof is really there, folks, that political decisions were put in priority higher than the safety and security of those who were serving on the ground in Benghazi. And, folks, it cost at least two of the four who died their lives, or at least a chance for the United States to come to their aid while they were still fighting. I encourage you to go to aclj.org or to foxnews.com and read Jay's op-ed. But I also wanted you to hear an interview that Jay gave to Sean Hannity's radio broadcast last Thursday, kind of outlining where we're at on this and what we expect to see out of this select committee that is forming. Hopefully, we will at least finally get truth instead of just more political cover about what happened on the ground September 11th, 2012. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this interview. This is Jay on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast from last week.
All right, News Roundup Information Overload Hour. Our top story remains today the lies, the misinformation, the cover-up, the smoking gun as it relates to Benghazi. And one person has been actively involved not only in Benghazi, but the lies involving the IRS and the cover-up and the intimidation, the harassment, the attempt to silence opposition voices is Jay Sekulow. We got the same thing here. We got lies and cover-up. And, you know, now we've got a smoking gun email that comes right from the White House 3 days after the Benghazi attack. And then you have this ridiculous narrative that's put out by Jay Carney that, oh, no, no, it wasn't just about Benghazi that we were telling this to Susan Rice about. No, not at all. I'll be honest, this is now institutionalized lying. You know, remember the term William Safire once used against Hillary Clinton? He called her a congenital liar. You know, I would say that this White House is full of congenital liars, starting with Jay Carney, the chief propagandist. They lie with regularity, no matter how absurd it seems.
You know, when you look at the emails that have now been released, only released, by the way, because our friends at Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit. This information was not given to Congress before, which is interesting. Even the redacted versions weren't the same. So you look at it, and it says, what's the goal? And then the goal is clearly listed to underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. That's because they know they had a broader failure of policy developing in Benghazi, and their narrative that they were trying to communicate to the Muslim world was not succeeding. Their entire Middle East policy was not succeeding. So the end result is this disastrous press conference, you mentioned it, Sean, with Jay Carney yesterday was just awful. I mean, because you can't defend the defenseless, and even a good defense lawyer, you know, you've got to be able to move around with some facts, and here you have absolutely no facts that back you up. So I don't know why Jay Carney just didn't go out and deal with it head on rather than that nonsense for seven minutes.
We've been playing the cuts all day. Let me play one this one from earlier today. This is not going to go away. I guess it will go away. They assume it's going to go away. They've gotten away with so many lies in the past. I guess they feel invincible. But here's how silly this man sounds, and we're going to slam him and lay out the case against Jay Carney tonight on Hannity.
Ed, it's your turn.
If the email was not about Benghazi, as you said yesterday and say again today, why did the White House turn it over to a conservative group seeking information about Benghazi?
You would have to ask the State Department about how they responded to FOIA requests. I would again point you to the fact that, I mean, all you have to do is read it, Ed, right? Top line points, goals, that kind of stuff. The only mention of Benghazi in the email is a question about what's your response to a story by the Independent newspaper in the UK that says we had intelligence 48 hours in advance of the attack that was ignored. Not aware of any actionable intelligence was the answer. And then what does it do? It cuts and pastes the same line from the CIA talking points that, again, was what Ambassador Rice used.
So if it's not about Benghazi, why turn it over in a Benghazi suit? It seems...
You would have to ask the State Department about their process for responding to FOIA requests. Again, you can just read it and then decide for yourself. As many people have now said and written, like, this is a conservative group theory and spiritual of a conspiracy.
Comes in and says, we want Benghazi documents. The administration says, this is not a Benghazi document, so we're not turning it over, right?
This is a State Department FOIA request response. Yeah, but again, whether it was released Monday or a week ago Monday or whatever, it doesn't change the fundamental facts about the so-called talking points, which, despite great efforts by your news organization and others, have been, you know, proven not to be a conspiracy.
I mean, it's just, it's indefensible on so many different levels because, you know, look, we have testimony now from the people on the ground. They decided not to listen to the station chief. They decided to listen to Langley, not the people that were there, not the people that were new. They built a narrative. They sent out lies, talking points, propaganda. They did it for their own political benefits, so this wouldn't hurt the president's reelection chances. It's as clear as the eye can see.
It is. And Sean, let me tell you something about FOIA requests. This administration has done everything they can do when it comes to even legal proceedings involving Freedom of Information Act requests to not respond with documentation. So when Judicial Watch asked for FOIA information, Freedom of Information Act information regarding Benghazi, and the State Department then is compelled by court order to release this particular document, the State Department thought it was about Benghazi, and Jay Carney can try to say Benghazi's not a big part of it, but the whole narrative is about Benghazi, and the second proposed question that they have in the document is Benghazi. So here's what you've got, a completely failed narrative, and now trying to, you know, maneuver around the Freedom of Information Act request. But, Sean, it's a pattern. You said it earlier in the broadcast. This is a pattern and practice of this administration. And I think right now it's fair to say that the government as it is, President Obama's leadership, State Department, IRS, FEC, lawyer had to resign there today because of political statements. You look at all of that and you say, you know what, institutionally incapable of self-correcting. And the media now is finally getting attention to it after you've been doing that.
I don't even give them credit for it at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, IRS, it was supposed to be about rogue agents. Rogue agents said, no, we were taking our orders from Washington. Benghazi, a YouTube video, and it was about a spontaneous demonstration. I never heard of a spontaneous demonstration where they come in with rocket-propelled grenades in their back pockets. The way they did in this case. We know that they knew within 15 minutes it was a terrorist attack. We know that they didn't send the proper help and assistance. We know that they denied requests for extra security. But, you know, like every other sin or crime, at least in the Hannity family, it's when my kids do something wrong, I can live with that because I myself am imperfect and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But it's when you lie about it.
when you cover it up. That's the worst part.
This is the entire problem here. I mean, you look at this email, this compelled disclosed email, and you look at the bottom of the first page. I think that people have come to trust President Obama providing leadership that is steady and statesmanlike. That's the message that they told Susan Rice, go out and sell in light of Benghazi. That's their goal, the top lines, as they called it. And, Sean, you're right. Instead of just saying, you know what, we got it wrong from start to finish. It was a huge mistake. There were horrible consequences. No excuse. No, they're still making excuses now.
I just can't believe that I listen to Carney, and here it is 3 days after the attack in Benghazi. Here it is, a political operative in the White House writing up false talking points, a false narrative, which the president himself echoed on the 25th of September. So this became their narrative in spite of all the evidence right. to the contrary, in spite of what we now know the president himself, Hillary Clinton herself, were being told.
Well, this is because they don't know how to, our friend Lanny Davis was very good at confronting a crisis, public relations matter, and dealing with it. Get out there ahead of it. Not only have they not gotten ahead of it, Sean, something you've been saying for a long time on the broadcast, and that is this is a serial pattern. They are so concerned about protecting the narrative that the truth, really doesn't matter. So
you're an attorney. Yep. If Roger Clemens is found guilty of lying before a grand jury, or if somebody else didn't a former president lose his law license in part for the lies that he told?
Yep. And they're going to getting this to the president is always the issue. Although you got it to Jay Carney. That's the president's primary spokesperson. That's number one. Number two, and this is an important part of this, Sean. I think this call for a select committee with real subpoena power is now necessary. And that will be a very significant step in moving this real inquiry forward. You got to get it into a different posture. I think now this definitely calls for a select committee, and that select committee has to have broad subpoena power. And you bring up Ben Rhodes and say, what were you talking about, Ben, Mr. Rhodes? You bring up Jay Carney. You bring up Susan Rice, who to this day still denies it. To this day.
Unbelievable. All right, Jay Sekulow, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity. If you want to sign our open letter demanding that we finally get answers, the truth, not just political spin. We want the truth about why four Americans died on September 11th, 2012 in Benghazi. Call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For many months now, we've had conflicting accounts of what happened during that terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration continues to dodge, deflect, and delay. Now, Congress is launching a new investigation focused on getting the facts to cut through the political maneuvering to find out exactly what happened and why. Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military military assistance dispatched to our consulate. What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. We continue to talk about this new select committee to get the bottom line truth on what happened in Benghazi on September 11th, 2012, when four Americans were killed on a terrorist attack on our consulate. Obviously, it was a terrorist attack, but this administration has called it something else from that day until this day. This new select committee will be in charge of getting to the bottom line, finding the truth. And folks, in just a moment, I'm going to play for you an interview that Jay did on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast last week. He was on with Lanny Davis talking about this issue. But just kind of set up that interview to kind of put this in a right frame of mind as you listen to it. I want to play for you some congressional testimony from last week from retired Brigadier General Robert Lovell, who was involved in this situation in Benghazi. I want you to hear this soundbite. He talks about running to the guns like they're trained to do, and we should have at least tried to help the two Americans that were killed 7 hours into this attack. Take a listen to this soundbite. This is retired Brigadier General Robert Lovell.
There are accounts of time, space, and capability, discussions of the question, could we have gotten there in time to make a difference? Well, the discussion is not could or could not. Of time, space, and capability. The point is, we should have tried. As another saying goes, always move to the sound of the guns.
Folks, I'm going to give you analysis on that soundbite in just a minute, but before I do that, I want to play this interview. Jay was on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast. Let me play that interview, and then I'll come back with analysis on both.
Here with reaction tonight from the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, and former Clinton special counsel Lanny Davis. Guys, good to see you.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
You know, Lanny, you and I, we went round and round about whether or not they were alone. It all depends what is. We have been told a series of lies here, and we can now prove them. I'm asking you as a Democrat, in light of what John Adams wrote his wife that day in 1800, does any of this bother you? Any of this you find difficult to swallow? Jay Carney's propaganda?
I don't share your belief. You're entitled to your belief that Jay Carney lied.
You've got to let me finish. The Ben Rhodes email is a fact.
Are you going to let me finish tonight,
yeah,
John?
Because
you had plenty of time in your opening.
All right.
I don't believe Jay Carney lied at all. I know one fact that you did not address, and I would invite you to address. I have read the 13 versions of the talking points, beginning with version one that the CIA said it drafted, that was circulated and went back and forth over 13 different versions where changes were made. One sentence never changed in all 13 versions. Fact, the CIA wrote the words, this was a spontaneous demonstration, that's their phrase, and then it ended with, triggered by Cairo protests. Fact that was written by the CIA was not invented by the Obama White House or the State Department or Ambassador Rice. And if there was a mistake, and there was a mistake made in the intelligence assessment about this being a spontaneous demonstration, we now know that was wrong, that
Lanny,
this was extremist and elsewhere.
Here's
it's
the problem
a mistake,
with your spin.
It is not a lie.
Here's
and
the problem
a
with your
between
spin.
Mistake and lie.
The station, they ignore, to get to that point that you're talking about, they ignored the station chief, the people on the ground in Libya, and they decided to write it out of Langley, Virginia. And on top of that, we have the November 28th, I have tape of Jay Carney saying, no, the only change we made was from consulate to diplomatic facility because that was the only thing we had to do. Now we know with the smoking gun email.
Let me please
Jay,
respond,
hang on, Jay Sekulow.
The
White House was actively involved in the talking points.
Well, and let me say something else here, and
Jay.
Lanny, there is no explanation that's legitimate for this. Jay Carney is lying, not telling the truth, when he says that this email was not about Benghazi, because this email became public only because our friends at Judicial Watch filed a lawsuit asking for documents related to Benghazi. A court ordered those to be released, and the Department of State, State Department, produces this email, which is response to the Benghazi attack. So the administration can try to change what it means, but the fact is the words speak for themselves. That's number one. Number two, Lanny, they handled this wrong from the beginning. We know, certainly we knew 3 days later, I think obviously we knew immediately, that this had nothing to do with the video. They kept that narrative going. Some are continuing to keep that narrative going, and they do not take your advice, Lanny, which is come out, tell the truth, tell it often, and tell it directly. They still haven't done this. It is spin control, and they're institutionally incapable right now of self-correcting. That's the reality.
All right, guys, I'm not asking for equal time, but I would like to at least respond to the two points that were made and the last one that you just made, Jay. Number one, the fact is unrefuted by either one of you that the CIA wrote the word spontaneous demonstration triggered by Cairo protests. And that is what has been attributed to the Obama, excuse me, but that Cairo protests were, in fact, a response. So the words video wasn't used, but you don't deny that the Cairo protests were in response to video. Secondly, on the point you just made about Ben Rhodes, give me a chance to respond, guys. Ben Rhodes was doing what I've been involved in prepping people for Sunday shows. The larger question, and it was in the middle of a presidential campaign, is whether the Benghazi tragedy should be attributed to something lacking in the White House policy. And his point in prepping someone for a Sunday show is no, this tragedy was not about a failure of our policy. It was a tragedy.
So your position
is very, very normal
in that
kind of
narrative. Their narrative in the Middle East, which has been an utter failure. That's what they were trying to do, protect a narrative that's been a failure.
Always move to the sound of the guns, and we should have tried. Folks, how do you feel if you're the family of Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty? Certainly we mourn the loss of Ambassador Stevens and Information Officer Sean Smith. Those are certainly as invaluable. We mourn them just to that extent. But folks, if you are the family of Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, how do you feel knowing that your sons, your husbands, your brother was trained to defend the United States of America? They did just that. They were told to stand down. They responded anyway. And for almost 7 hours, they endured fire from the enemy. And in an effort to protect the United States of America and our interests, they were left to die. Folks, we did not dispatch help. There are a lot of issues that we talk about that generate passion in our voice, that generate passion in our spirits. But folks, this should really be at the top of the list. Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods dedicated their lives to protect the freedoms that you and I enjoy. For 7 hours, they fought under fire to defend those rights, and the United States government did not send help. Was there a direct stand-down order given from the White House? We don't know. But what we do know is that no order to assist was given. The personnel that we had available to respond did not run to the guns. Folks, they did not run to the guns. They did not even try. That fight could have lasted for a day or for 2 days. And from the information that we know, Glenn Doherty and Tyrone Woods would have never received assistance because no order to send assistance was given. Folks, that is why this select committee has got to be formed. It's been more than a year and a half. We do not have the bottom line answers. I wish that we could have gotten them without this select committee. We have not gotten them. Now we must get them. There are a couple of questions. There are a lot of questions. But there are a couple of questions that this select committee must get the answers to. What did the president know when this was happening, and why did he not give an order to run to the guns? We know he was not in the information in the situation room in the White House. That does not necessarily mean he was not informed. I am not saying that. What I am saying is that there was no order to send assistance given to Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty, and we need to know why that is the case. If you want to stand with us, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Folks, we give a lot of calls to action on this broadcast, and they are all important. But I got to tell you, nothing is more fundamental than defending the national security of the United States. And one of those principles is we leave no man behind. If you want to stand with us on that principle, call now 877-989-2255.
Stand with the ACLJ now and support this congressional investigation. Sign on to our open letter demanding answers to key questions, including why was no military assistance dispatched to our consulate? What specific actions did President Obama take? Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.